where the real talk starts. So take a seat, have a chat, table talk, where the real talk's at.
What is your opinion on sin?
I don't have an opinion on sin. I go to the Word.
Where do you get the Word?
Word of God. Go to your Bible. Go to an app. But as far as sin goes, I don't get to decide what it is and what it isn't. We go straight to the Word.
Now, what are some ideas or examples you can give that is sin that the Bible preaches on?
There are numerous examples as to what sin may be. Pride, adultery, lust, murder. If we get into Leviticus, the list goes on and on and on. But importantly is, what is sin?
Sin is what God says it is.
Or doing what God says not to do.
Correct.
You know, so essentially, to define sin would be disobedience to God. If he says to do it, to not do it is a sin. If he says don't do it, to do it is sin. But it's important to point out that I don't get to decide what sin is. You don't get to decide what sin is. Sin is not subjective.
Do you think your sin's bigger than mine?
Well, I really
Are you better at it?
I might be better at it. Sin is sin is sin. The scripture labels out certain ones, which might be considered a little bit differently. They're, without getting into the Hebrew, I don't want to dive into the difference between iniquities and versus transgressions. But as far as the weighing of sin, we do that. We think a little white lie is better than murdering somebody, which in a worldly sense it is, But from a biblical sense, the only sin that is egregious enough to be unforgivable is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Everything else is a slap in God's face or another nail in Christ, regardless of how big or small it might be.
So would it be a sin if we wanted to be like the Oompa Loompas and hold hands and skip down the hallway?
No. No, there's nothing scriptural against being an Oompa Loompa. Or as far as holding hands or skipping down the hallway. There's nothing even wrong with singing in rhyme.
What is your what is blasphemy? What is your opinion on blasphemy? Your definition?
Without getting into a textbook definition, my best understanding of blasphemy is to, what is the best wording? Some people define it as giving God credit for something the devil did, or vice versa. But another aspect of blasphemy would be the complete and total taking of God's word out of context. Like to say that sin is okay would be considered blasphemy, because the scripture plainly says that it's not. So, like the direct defiance of God's word, I believe, could be considered as blasphemy. You know, not from an ignorant standpoint, but you know what the word says, and yet, if God says don't do this, you try to justify how it's okay. I do believe that could be considered blasphemy. Maybe not in every circumstance, but as far as blanket statements go, yes.
So let everybody know that we are doing table talk, discussions at the table, and we are real people sitting at a table. We have everybody here, including the grandbaby. You may hear her in the background. She may give her 2 cents, but we're not going to let her. But we're not going to let her distract us. So she may get louder than us. Who knows what she's going to say? But we know it's not going to be curse words because we don't teach her those. Not yet. I mean, we won't do that. Anyways, we just try to have fun. We are going to discuss things that are going to probably hurt people's feelings.
Entirely possible.
I'm pretty sure, I hope, in a way, not in the mean aspect of it, but in the Christian aspect of it, and teaching people that don't know the truth about certain things.
Well, and that is the thing, is if you dive deep enough, being in your feelings is sinful.
Yes, yes.
You know.
And we want to make people think. See, she's excited. She's swimming right now. Anyways, we're going to try to make people think about what's going on in their life.
Absolutely.
I mean, it, like, one of the biggest sins, you know, it's the month of June. It's almost over, thank God. And I do thank God. It's called Demon Month.
But some have referred to it many different ways. We live in a world which, you know, and I do want to say that, again, I'm not saying what is sin and what isn't sin. God says what is sin and right. What isn't sin. But we live in a world that glorifies what God says not to do. But at the same point in time, all of us sin at some point, in some shape, form, or fashion. That, you know, so this isn't condemnation as much as it is an awareness aspect, you know. Paul wrote about it 2,000 years ago, you know. None are righteous, no, not one. We all screw up. We all sin.
Wait a minute. You're not perfect.
I'm not admitting no here on camera, no. But from a biblical aspect, no, I'm not. You know.
So the one thing we want people to understand is that we love the people, we just don't like the sin. The sin is the issue, not the person.
That is precisely it. And yet we live in a world where people build their identity around their sin.
Right.
And, you know, I have to tell you that I am so much more than whatever sin I may or may not commit. To identify myself by my sin would be just wrong, you know. Now that's not saying that I am not guilty of said sin or whatever the case may be, but nobody would like it if I went around identifying them by their sin. So why do we do it to ourselves?
Right.
You know,
a lot of people don't understand what sin is or what they're doing is wrong. Like, you know, I remember as a kid, the preacher would tell us that we were sinning just by breathing the air because it's polluted. Because we're not supposed to harm our bodies. But that's not a sin that we can't avoid because we have to breathe to live.
Right.
But it's just an analogy that he had. I was 11 years old hearing that, and that was my aunt, which was racist at that time. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do, hold my breath while we're outside?
Well, I mean, it does say your right hand causes you to sin.
Exactly. Chop it off, whatever. I mean, eyeball, poke it out.
Right.
But that's the old times. This is the new times.
Well, and that's it. And, You know, what a lot of people don't realize is my understanding is that there are over 600 Old Testament laws that were given.
Right.
And that's not counting all of the sacrificial provisos and whatnot that come into play. But when we get to Jesus, he said to love God above everything else.
But God first.
And to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, biblical definitions of love are a completely different podcast.
Right.
But where's I going with that? Jesus called out that these are the greatest two. Paul goes on to tell us that Jesus did not come to undo the law, but to fulfill the law. That the law was given to show us that we can't do it on our own. And what's more than that is that the law was given to make us aware of our sin. So, you know, it's not even that I'm saying that, well, the Bible says it, but, you know, Jesus came so it no longer applies. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I am saying that, you know, we don't have to follow ceremonial laws because that predates Christ. We, you know, the food laws, as far as cleanliness and whatnot, doesn't specifically apply. The laws of, shall we say, bodily fluids, if you touch blood or a dead person, what, you're supposed to be locked outside the city walls for, what, 5 days,
seven days? Yeah.
Well, we have doctors and medical professionals that we don't exile for a week at a time.
Right.
You know, and it's not that these things weren't important for their time. It's that we, and it's not that science has undone biblical law. It's that we've learned better about cleanliness.
Right.
You know.
So we don't have to, like, slaughter cows or goats or sacrifice animals anymore?
No, absolutely not. You know, now I'm just as good for a good steak as the next man. But as far as, you know, getting a sacrifice because I stubbed my toe and uttered a profane syllable, killing a chicken will not make that go away. That's what Christ was for.
But other than that, you might kill a block of ice for it. Or is a block of ice already dead? Does it have life?
Good question.
See, I told you we're going to get people to think.
Good question.
What in the crap is he talking about? I don't know. It just came out of my mouth.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are just as surprised by what he says.
Yes. I have no idea what I'm talking about. It just comes out. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't, but
I think that happens.
It's 90% something I heard 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Right.
Like, I'll start talking to my wife and say something. She said, what are you talking about? Well, you said this the other day. Well, that's the other day. I'm like, well, I just remembered today.
Right.
I mean, give me time here. I'm slow. I have a slow processor.
Right.
So, we need to address the situation when we see it.
That is a big part of it.
God tells us to, you know, correct the sin, so to fire,
repent.
That's another one I'm looking for here. My brain has just stopped and the train right off the rails. Of course, we have to make ourselves first, you know, make sure we're not calling the pedal black, how you say that crap.
Right.
Well, we got to make sure we're right with ourselves before we
say you know, worry about the plank in your own eye.
Yeah, that's it. The toothpick, and, whatever, yeah.
The splinter in your own eye.
Yeah.
You see, the thing about it is that leans into hypocrisy.
Mm.
You know, I'm not even going to blame Christians for this. Everybody is more worried about the wrong that somebody else is doing than the wrong that they themselves do, because we're vain creatures. We don't think that what we do is wrong. We don't want what we do to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and thank God he left instructions, because I mean, I'll be honest, I've seen the results of my thinking processes. I've seen the results of me making moral decisions.
I usually think of God doing the whole palm thing.
What I tell people, you know, like when you go through social media, and be it in the memes or in the reels, they'll play something that you probably shouldn't laugh at. You've got that picture of scowling Jesus right over your shoulder. Like, I need one of them constantly.
Some of us have a venom over our shoulder.
Well,
it shouldn't be there, but it is.
You know, watching the Venom movies, he wasn't always a good influence, you know, because let's face it, some things in life would just be easier if we could bite the heads off our enemies.
Yes. Yes. You know? But that's a sin. That's murder. Well,
not only that, but I can see it creating problems in the long run. Indigestion to be starting with.
I mean, it only burns for a second.
I'll have to take your word for it.
Oh, this is going to be fun. I just can't wait to see where it leads us.
You know, it'll go exactly where God wants it to go.
Yes.
You know, if we can stay out of the way.
You know, it's crazy. I think it's been 2 months ago. God laid on my heart to do this podcast, to finish what I, you know, what he started within me.
Right.
And I argued with him a little bit. I told my wife about it. And I kept on saying, well, I don't have anybody else. And she mentioned, well, talk to Chris. I bet you Chris would be good on it. I'm like, no. And God kept on telling me. And then it just, and then was it things the next couple of days, I messaged you. And you responded were different than I thought you would. Because, you know, the world's different nowadays. Right. Everybody's afraid to talk about God.
Yeah, and I'm not. If a person is self-aware and at least to some small part scripturally aware,
mm-hmm.
how can you not talk about God? You know, when we look at life, and I'm not even talking about the crap, the politics, the world stage. I'm not even talking about that. We don't know when our last breath is, and our next breath isn't guaranteed.
No.
How can you not thank God?
Right.
You know, I am a numbers guy. There are certain things where, you know, well, if you have 10-1 odds, that's pretty decent chances compared to, you know, 1 in 10 million.
Right.
You know, but at the same point in time, when you witness things that should not be, or the odds are so out there, how can you not give that to God?
You know what? And how does that song go? God saved a wretch like me?
Yes. Amazing grace.
Yes.
You know,
God shows us a lot of grace. A lot
more than we deserve.
Yes.
It's
very interesting what God would do for us on a daily basis when we constantly step on his toes, because we're human.
I've seen somebody talking about this the other day, and I'm not trying to steal their thunder, but they mentioned that if we got what we deserve,
we'd be in hell and our neck broke.
We'd be on that cross.
Yeah.
We would have taken that.
Mm-hmm.
We would have wore that crown of thorns. And, you know, but and that's before hell. You know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really stop to consider the price that Christ paid. And a person could look at it as weakness,
right?
He allowed himself to be put in that position, mm-hmm. that he didn't fight back, that he didn't call a legion of angels to save him. How strong would you have to be to bear the weight of the world's sin and it not rip your flesh?
I'll do one better for you. How strong would you have to be to give your own son?
That is one.
That was a test that I don't know if I could have went through with.
I'm pretty sure I would have failed that one. As a matter of fact, I could say flat out I would have failed that
one. Yeah.
You know, Abraham's situation was a little different. God had already promised him, your descendants will outnumber the nations, or would be nations, would outnumber the stars.
Right.
So by calling on his sacrifice, he had a wild card in his pocket.
Yes, you
know,
he did.
God already had, you know, he already had the promise from God.
Mm-hmm.
But for, you know, if God contacted me or you or whomever's like, you know, I think we're just going to sacrifice your kid and that'll make everything okay. Like, whoa, I need my Uno reverse. you know,
because skip old card.
I have, you know, I do have the promises of scripture. You know, we all inherit. We are, how's it worded? Co-heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. But Abraham had a direct, Abraham, I'm going to do this for you specifically. See, I don't have one of those, at least not that I'm aware of.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is a test that I would fail miserably.
Yeah. I feel like God tests us every day with that typical situation with that. You know, he tells you to talk to somebody or tells you to stop and get somebody money or food. And like, I ain't stopping there. No, I ain't doing it. There's been several times my wife's like, well, stop and get them food. No. She's like, yes. Yes, dear. Because it's God talking to her. I know that. But I'm the type of guy going, well, everybody's hired. They can get a job.
I have mixed emotions on a lot of that. I have given to panhandlers before. I have purchased the from the person in front of me when they're having trouble digging up their money or their card isn't working. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that for any sort of glorification of myself, because I have stood there and complained while people can't dig their debit card out.
Right.
Or they're trying to write a check and can't find their pen or
right,
whatever the case
right,
may be.
Right.
My thing on that is don't make up your mind before you're in that situation. If you see somebody in that situation and if you get a tugging, maybe I need to do something, do it.
Right.
And you know, people have brought up, well, you don't know what that person's going to do with the money. No, I don't.
That's between them and God.
With God, and that's between them and God. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think it is a little bit different, and this is where the mixed emotions come in. There is a difference between helping somebody and enabling somebody. So if there is an individual who is regularly throwing their money on drugs or whatever the case may be, that most of us would believe they probably ought not do that.
Right.
You know, if you are regularly subsidizing that, are you helping? And the only answer I really have is search yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might give a different answer depending on direct circumstances.
Right.
And also, I don't speak with the authority of God. I'm
no,
a prophet.
No.
So I'm not telling anybody what to do other than search your heart, you
yeah.
know. And, you know, you dive into God's word, see what it says, see what you ought to do, which is totally off topic from sin, to be honest with you.
But you know, how, you know, it's crazy how that happened. I was just sitting there thinking that. I mean,
no, it's not necessarily if God's telling you to throw $20 at the person in front of you and you refuse, You can call that sin.
You know, listen to daddy, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time, and I hate that because this probably could have went for another 30 minutes, which is okay.
Oh, we can't
time on God. So we are definitely going to be doing this from almost. We're going to try to do this every week. We're going to discuss times and dates after this podcast. Just think about this as you watch our videos. You sit around a table when you're eating food or drinking coffee, whatever. You're having a conversation about something. Why not turn that conversation into talking about God? Talking about what God's done for you today, what God can do for you, or will do for you in the past, next and future, to pass, whichever.
Well, I'm going to add to that because, I can't keep my mouth shut. Think about it for just a second. What are the two things they tell you not to talk in public about?
Mm-hmm.
It's politics and religion.
Yep.
What are the two most governing features that impact your everyday existence?
Yep.
And you're not allowed to talk about it, really?
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Both of those subjects, people are very opinionated. They're very passionate about. And thankfully, we live in a country where you have the right to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
So this one... This will be the first episode. You'll start seeing episodes probably every Saturday. We'll have reels throughout the week. We're going to create some from this podcast. We'll share on TikTok, Facebook. I will share a link to our YouTube channel. I have created one of those. Facebook, we're still working on that. As of right now, we'll have one on my Facebook, DJ Noid. We're going to create one for Table Talk, and this. It will direct everybody to that. We're not doing this for the money. We're doing it for God. We're not going to ask you. We're not going to mention it. So that's one thing that I want everybody to be clear on.
Well, that, and there's no judgment. There's
correct.
No condemnation.
No.
You know, we're not sitting here. I mean, other than from a Christian standpoint, I believe that everybody needs Jesus.
Yes.
And no matter where you are in life, whether you are a 20-year veteran, if you're agnostic, atheist, no matter, newborn, my belief is that we all need Jesus, and you can never get enough Jesus.
Correct.
So, you know, when we talk about these things, it's not I'm right and you're wrong. And it's not, you know, when we bring up sin or read your Bible or whatever, I'm not telling you what to do.
We're preaching to ourselves.
Well, not only that, but, you know, like I said, there's no condemnation. From a biblical standpoint, I got to throw that proviso in there. From a biblical standpoint, I am not perfect.
No, none of us are.
So it's not... We're not sitting here from a holier-than-thou perception. People are going to have different opinions. People are going to have different beliefs. And the only thing I will say there is, if it's black and white in the Bible, or more specifically written in red, if you have a different belief or opinion, the word has to be the final authority. If you don't believe in the word, that is a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
But if you do believe in the word, but you don't want to believe what the word says, or you want to go about what it really means, that's another conversation to have.
Yeah.
And again, it's There's no authority here that is mine or DJ's or whatever. It's it's not our job to tell everybody they're going to hell. And it's certainly not from a position of we're perfect and y'all stink.
Yeah.
We're just as bad.
Y'all stay over there. We'll come over here where it's cooler at. We're the cool kids.
Unless you've got some nice air conditioning, then you're welcome.
That's part of the reason why I decided to call it the library. So we weren't doing this outside where it's 1,000 degrees. Yes. So why not utilize our Absolutely. Government fundings? Absolutely. So anyways, yeah, we'll do some more topics. And if anybody wants to join our podcast and be a guest on the show, message us and we'll entertain the offer and see what you want to talk about, or just be on the show and talk about God with us. We don't care. We don't ain't that hurt our feelings none. The more the people, the better. But we do have somebody that we are going to have on the show with us. We are still talking, trying to get some ideas together, and we're definitely going to have some testimonies too.
Right.
How God saved your life. I know you have one. I have one. My wife has one. Even our boys have a testimony.
I made a comment on a Facebook post a while back ago, and yeah, I spend more time thinking than I probably should. But I was thinking about the lyrics to, I think it's Big Daddy Weaves, My Story.
Mm-hmm. Your Glory.
And as a, you know, and I don't even like using the word Christian anymore. If somebody professes to more than believe, but at least attempts to follow, if at some point your story doesn't turn into his story, you've missed something. You've missed something big.
Yep.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yep. We will see y'all next Saturday.
Sips to midnight thoughts. This is where the real talk starts.